Being a chef means keeping your cool in the kitchen. It's up, it's up. And with Resi Priority Notify and Global Dining Access through my Amex Platinum card,
right this way,
it's nice to try someone else's food for a change. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
The Volume.
Colin Cowherd Podcast presented by FanDuel Sportsbook. No better place to bet the action than on FanDuel Sportsbook during the football season. There's a lot of reasons. It's America's number one sportsbook. Incredibly easy to use. Super safe. Totally secure. Super fast payouts in as quick as 2 hours. You're not going to get that anywhere. Also, same game parlay bets, live betting. It's the best. Hey, if you're new, just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. I did it in 15 seconds. Get started now. Sign up. Please use the promo code Colin so they know we sent you. Please use the promo code Colin, C-O-L-I-N. FanDuel Sportsbook app. Sign up. This is Prime Cuts, best of the Colin Cowherd podcast. NFL heading into week four. Finally get Joe Burrow after a W. Where did the nickname Joe Shiesty come from? It's so lit. Can I say that? Probably not. Matt Mosley, Cowboys are winning with a backup quarterback. The hell's going on? Chad Millman, picks of the week. First, my top takes of the week. Let's start with a Tua injury. Good news, he's flying back with the team. Obviously, there's going to be the NFL Players Association's not happy. It looks bad. Standalone game. Only 4 days off for Tua to recover from a situation where he got up and wobbled. Really serious. It looked like injury being slammed to the turf. One of the things I first thought when he got slammed to the turf, it was very obvious. Immediately, he had to be taken out of the game, and it was a serious medical issue, is about two or three times a year, and I'm just throwing that number out, during a game, I'll see a player get up, and I'll watch him wobble. And, you know, to eliminate the doubt and the questions, why not have something called, like, a wobble rule? If you get up at any point on the field, indecisive, struggle with balance, you're out the next week. You're out. You know, now a team could manipulate that, keep players on the field, you know, tell the players never get up. But I see this too often, fairly regularly, that you see players get up like Tua last week against Buffalo, and he's, you know, he's got an issue above the shoulders. Now, the Dolphins say it's a back issue or it's some other issue. They don't right now. Their owner is suspended. So within that organization, who makes that call? Is it the GM? Is it the head coach? Is it Tua? Players generally fight to play, especially quarterbacks, because they don't get hit like other players. They get protected at practice. So quarterbacks, you know, they want buy-in from players. They're Justin Herbert. He's going to want to play. You saw him last week. He was in complete pain in the very first quarter for the Chargers against the Jags. He's trying to make a point. I'm tough, too. I can take the pain, too. I know you guys are in collisions constantly. So the player generally has to be saved from himself. And so the wobble rule, put it into effect. Tua's flying back with the team. He is a smaller athlete. Hurt a lot at Bama. Hurt a little bit in Miami. Now this, he's also not only a smaller athlete, but he's fairly stationary. You know, a lot of the smaller quarterbacks who have had success in the NFL, Russell Wilson, Fran Tarkenton when I grew up, Kyler Murray, they move around. Michael Vick, they can avoid hits, also sometimes run into them. But, you know, Tua is kind of your classic pocket passer. He was a Drew Brees comp coming out of college. Sit in the pocket, very accurate, get rid of it quick, not a great deep ball thrower, not hyper-athletic. And that's a lot of what he is. He's a very, very accurate thrower, but he is a smaller athlete and a stationary target. And, I mean, you saw the violence in which he was slammed to the turf. So, the good news, he's flying back with the team. But I think we have to create, safety really does matter in the NFL. I mean, everybody's playing hurt to some degree, but I do think there needs to be some sort of absolute, definitive rule. You get up, you wobble, you're out next game. Regardless of when that next game is. Cross your fingers, prayers for Tua. He's flying back with the team. And I think we would all agree at this point, he needs to worry about his health first, sit out a couple of weeks. Teddy Bridgewater takes control. That feels like an obvious one for me and probably you. You know, I saw a lot of different reactions to Ken Dorsey, the offensive coordinator, imploding in the Buffalo Bills coach's room upstairs as they lost to Miami. First of all, it was an agonizing day for the Bills. They were clearly the better team, so you had a lot of stress. And it's also been a team that struggles to win close games. They're 0-6 or 0-7 the last 2 years in games decided by 8 or less. But it didn't bother me. It was a little over the top. But one of my frustrations with the media is we want access. Okay, fine. And then we complain about what we see or hear. If you want cameras inside that coaching cubicle, shit ain't pretty. On a half a dozen occasions in my life, I have been upstairs and sat within the vicinity of more in college than pro, but sat in the vicinity of a team's coaching room. It is nonstop screaming, emotion, yelling, passion. If you're going to put a camera in there, deal with the reality of it. They weren't necessarily yelling at a person. They weren't debasing or dehumanizing a person. They're yelling through a headset. They're often yelling to themselves. But the media does this all the time. They want access to things, and then you don't. It's like asking a question in life and being pissed off at the answer. Well, don't ask the question. Like Ken Dorsey flipped. All right. What do you think? He's going to be happy? I mean, Brady broke two tablets. The NFL responded with a press release warning players do not break tablets. Ken Dorsey didn't even break the headset. He was just pissed. But that's why my wife and I have talked about this. Don't ask questions where you may get an answer you don't like. Don't put the cameras in there. The coaches, by the way, don't want the cameras in there. The coaches don't want to do hard knocks. The coaches don't want to do the mid-season hard knocks. It's not what the teams want. It's what the league wants. On a semi-annual basis, they come and notify teams, hey, for the overall TV product, we're going to put cameras here, 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 here. Nobody on the staff wants it. But should they be inauthentic? Should they pretend like they're not mad? Yeah, Ken Dorsey was over the top. He was pissed. Take the camera out if you're bothered. Football season's underway, so now is the perfect time to download FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Join today, get started, $150 in free bets guaranteed when you place your first $5 bet. Promo code, though, is Colin to get in on the action. Always Colin. Turn game day into payday. Win totals, division winners, player props, week one spreads and totals. Play your way, bet on more than just the final score. You can even combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payout with same game parlay, my fave. Now, FanDuel is also live in Kansas, baby. Don't fumble your chance. $150 in free bets, win or lose, promo code Colin. Make every moment more with FanDuel, the official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in Arizona, Colorado, Connecticut, Indiana, and Louisiana. Permitted parishes only. Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Tennessee, Virginia, or West Virginia. First online real money wager only. Refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem, 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXTSTEP to 53342 Arizona, 1-888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org/chat. Connecticut, 1-800-GAMBLER or visit fanduel.com/RG in Colorado, Indiana, Jersey, and Virginia, 1-877-770-STOP in Louisiana, 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan, 1-877-HOPENY or text HOPENY 467-369 in New York, Tennessee. Redline 1-800-889-9789 Tennessee. Visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net in West Virginia. And here he is, Joe Burrow. So we talked about this last week. I said I watched the second half against Dallas and I'm like, okay, it's all good. Now you've got some reps. And I really felt watching the second half against Dallas and the first half against the Jets, I was like, all right, it's not perfect. But I just as a consumer watched it and thought, yeah, they got their stuff together. Did you feel like after Dallas and the week of practice, when you're sitting there in pregame, did you feel like, yeah, this is going to click? I feel like we're at a place we weren't 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, we had great urgency throughout the entire week. Offensive line, I thought, played great. Interior of the pocket was unbelievably firm, allowed me to step up and get out of some sticky situations. And receivers played great, and we were playing on time, efficient, the entire first half. Second half, we'd like to have some throws back and need to finish better. But, you know, we finished the game with a 8-minute drive, ran the ball on every snap. And so that was a big physicality moment for us to prove that, hey, we can go out and do this. We can get in 13 personnel and run it down your throat if we have to. And so that was a big stepping stone for us.
You know, it's weird. At this point in my career, I don't have disaster shows. So, you know, everything's at least, you know, B minus level, whatever. Your week is either win or fail. And that's how athletes look. So when that game ends, just be as honest as you can. The emotion, how good it feels in this league, the flight home, the walk into the tunnel. Like it changes. Look at your smile. Like it changes everything, right?
Changes everything. And, you know, we have a lot of carryover from last year, a lot of guys, but it's the 2022 Bengals. Last year was over. And so we were trying to get over that hump of that first win. First one's always the hardest. And so it was exciting in the locker room. Playing around home was fun. Obviously, still a lot of corrections to be made. Film was what it was. But, you know, when you get that win, food tastes better. You sleep better at night. Everybody's happier in the locker room. The ping pong games are more fun in the locker room. And so winning just makes everything better.
So we were talking about this in my kind of preamble. Is that the media loves to put cameras around athletes and then they don't like what they see. So Ken Dorsey freaks out. My takeaway was, well, that shit's been happening for 100 years. You just didn't have a camera in there. And Tom Brady's breaking iPads or whatever he's breaking. And I'm like, guys, when I go to work, it's not win or lose. So as I watched Dorsey, I thought, oh my God, that is, I've sat next to coaching cubicles probably a half dozen times as a media person. And the language during the game, I can hear it through the walls. So you sometimes get on the headset. And I mean, is it happened like once or twice a Sunday, Joe? Or maybe it doesn't anymore for you, where a coach barks. A coach is up your ass. He's pissed off.
Yeah, let's be honest. This is a very emotional game. There's a lot riding on each and every single game. Every game in the NFL counts. And at the end of the year, you can look back at one or two plays in a certain game where if it goes your way, you lose, and maybe you're in the playoffs. And so when coaches have these reactions and players have these reactions, you got to take a step back and understand how much work we put into each and every play every single week. And so when it doesn't go your way, emotions are going to run high. And that's just the way it is. We talked about it last week, how the nation is so polarized. Football is very polarizing. Like you said, you win or you lose. And if you win, the mistakes that you make, you know, you go back and correct them, but they're not as big of a deal. And then if you lose, you go back and look at these mistakes. So if I would have hit this one, we would have won. If, you know, he would have made this block, we would have won. If, you know, I would have checked this protection, we would have won. So emotions are going to run high in this game. That's just the way it is based off the amount of work that everybody puts in.
So you had a legendary game against Tua where there was like 8 NFL guys on the field, like skill players everywhere. I remember it well. And, you know, you meet Tua. You guys actually get a little bit of a break where their defense was on the field literally the entire game in unbelievable humidity, and now they have to travel and it's a short week. That happens about once a season where you get a little bit of a, you know, a little bit of a 12-15% scheduling break. But go back to Tua before you'd played against him live or seen Tua. What did you, even the name sounds iconic. What did you know about him? What have you made about him when you've seen him or played against him?
Well, my first time watching Tua was when he came in at halftime in the national title game. I was like, who is this true freshman coming in here in the middle of the national title game, hasn't started a snap, and he's going to come in and do what he does, was unbelievable. I hadn't started a game at the time, and I was like, there's true freshmen doing this. I don't have a chance. And then, you know, we come play him. That was a fun game. You know, that was kind of our coming out party as a team at LSU. You know, we knew we were good, but, you know, we're playing Alabama on the road. Let's see how good we really are. And turns out we were pretty good.
Yeah, that was there's an argument to be made. There's never been a college game ever played with more talent on the field. Yeah. Could you feel it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you run into guys, it seems like every week that you played against from Alabama. And, you know, we jump out on them early, and then we get up two scores with like 3 minutes left. And all of a sudden, Tua hits Devontae Smith down the sideline for a long touchdown on the first play. And like, oh, here we go. We got to go out here again. And it's just this back and forth, and you could see the speed on the field.
So I was watching Justin Herbert yesterday. He obviously decided to play. He was in huge pain. So he got the shot, which I've talked to multiple players. It's like, listen, it's not going to cause further damage. It's just going to be really painful, and you got to take a shot. And take me to your career, high school, college, pro. What is the most pain you've been in during a football game?
So during the game, I would say the national title game, my senior year, I did something to my ribs right before half of that game. So the second half was pretty painful. Last year when we played the Chargers, I dislocated my finger in like the first series and my hand blew up like a balloon. And that was not very fun. I was able to fight through it, played through that the whole rest of the year. But that's part of the game, just playing through injuries. And I think as quarterbacks, we have a responsibility to play through those kind of things because we're not grinding like the rest of the positions are. The offensive, defensive line, getting in car wrecks on every single play. And we're back there in the pocket, distributing the ball, show our toughness when we can. You got to play through injuries. You got to show your toughness to those guys and have their backs. That's the way I look at it. Justin's an unbelievable player, and I know he probably thinks the same way that I do.
Yeah. Did you ever see him play at Oregon? I mean, you see the Chargers tape.
I had never seen him play at Oregon. I knew he was big, strong. You know, Pac-12 after dark, you don't get to watch it very much. But I mean, but my first time watching him was at the Combine. I wasn't participating and he was throwing. And I was just like, this guy just throws it so effortlessly. So, so fun to watch him play. Unbelievable talent. He's just getting better and better. And I mean, I think he's one of the top guys right now.
You know, I was talking about this with the staff today. So not that you care, but the reason my show is called The Herd is because years ago, I worked out of college. I got a job with a minor league baseball team doing an inning of play-by-play in sales. So they hired me out of Eastern Washington University, and they let me do one inning of play-by-play, but I had to do sales all day long, which sucks. So the guy who ran the team could never remember my, you know, he just like, cow. And so he just called me Herd. So years later, I get into radio. And I noticed that all the radio people that, you know, Stern, Oprah, Imus, Seacrest or whatever, everybody had one name. So I thought, Herd. So I went and looked at your nicknames and you got to explain a couple. So generationally, Joe Scheisty, what does that mean?
Somebody had posted a video, some kind of highlight last year, and it just kind of took off. That was crazy. I mean, there's so people who just come up with all these out of the blue. It's pretty. People always ask me which ones are my favorite. I'm like, that's not for me to decide. That's for you guys to decide. You make the nicknames. I'm not calling myself that. I'm not running around calling myself Joe Scheisty, like making a dinner reservation Mr. Shiesty. Nobody's doing that.
So I didn't know what Shiesty means. Does it mean anything?
I don't think it really does. I think it's just there's a rapper named Pooh Shiesty.
Okay. Yeah.
Maybe it's off of that. I don't know.
Joe Burr.
That one I think came after. I like to wear a little jewelry every now and then. And so maybe I had some diamonds on that day. I don't know.
Ah, some ice.
Yeah, there you go.
Thank you. Thank you. I literally got credibility on this entire podcast on knowing what ice means. I know one time Joy Taylor on my show, this was like 3 years ago, used lit. And I said, I'd like to use that in a conversation today. And the pathetic thing was, I must have used it seven times that day. And my wife's like, you sound like such an idiot. And I'm like, you learn a word, I can't help myself.
Yeah.
So for the record, I have one piece of jewelry. I got this in Italy. What is the line on cool and too much?
Yeah.
Like, what's your line?
There's definitely a line, and you know it when you see it. It's hard to describe, but I would say 6 or 7 chains is probably too much. You know, one or two, low-key, subtle. I don't like to wear it if it's going to pop and it's going to, you know, take away from the outfit that I'm wearing, but somebody notices it, like, oh, that's cool. So there's definitely a line.
Did the Jets talk? Were they chatty? Are some teams chattier?
Division games are usually a lot more chatty. Non-division games.
Yeah, Baltimore feels chatty to me. Baltimore.
Baltimore's chatty. Pittsburgh is sometimes. The Browns are very chatty. So I don't think I've had any. Usually non-division games aren't as intense and trash talking.
Isn't that crazy? I've heard Peyton Manning told me 2 weeks ago. He goes, there's preseason speed, regular season speed, division game speed. Yeah. And I'm like, really? He's like, oh yeah. So you can, a Ravens game is different.
Yeah, you've just played them so much. You know all their looks, you know their calls. And so you know coming in, they're gonna have a wrinkle for me that I'm not gonna expect. And they might get you a couple times. And sometimes they know all your signals. So you got to come up with new signals that week because you've played them 6 times over the last 3 years and they just have so much film on you and you've played these same players 3 years straight. And so you have history with them. It just, the division games have a different feeling.
Do you like them more though?
I do. You know, I always enjoy the ultra competitive parts of the game. And when you get sacked by the same guy that you got sacked by last year, and he got a couple words for you that gets your fire going. And that reminds you why you play the game. Cause you know, throughout the week, all the media can kind of get overwhelming sometimes. And then you get out there and you're in your zone and the bullets are flying. You're like, oh, this is why I do it. This is why we put in all the work to come out here and make plays. And that's why you see everybody dancing and celebrating after touchdowns and sacks, right? Because there's so much work that goes into it and it's so hard and there's so much attention on every game. You go out and make a play, you want to celebrate that. And so that's always exciting when you see guys excited to make a play and their teammates excited for them.
All right. Finally, let's circle back to the temper, the Brady, the Dorsey. Have you ever just lost it? Just come unglued with a coach and just a practice, a bad route? When's the last time you lost it?
There were some intense conversations on the sideline against the Chiefs last year in the AFC Championship game.
Do tell.
Well, there was, you know, sometimes you go to the line with 2 plays. You got to get to one based off the look. And they gave us a look that, you know, was a little murky, and my decision was probably not the right one, but I felt it was at the time. And so,
right,
you know, I'm going to try not to show it with my body language, but conversation got a little heated. that's probably the, that's the only time since I've been in the NFL that that's happened. But, you know, we got great coaches that understand it gets a little intense out there sometimes.
So Zach got in your grill.
Yeah, he'll get in there every now and then.
I know he looks like he would, honestly. You put it off long enough, it's time to replace your tires. Tire Rack has tires that will elevate your drive. Touring tires for commuter comfort. Performance tires for sporty handling. All-terrain tires for on- and off-road adventure. Go to TireRack.com to get started. Not sure where to begin? Use the Tire Decision Guide to get a personalized tire recommendation. The right tires for how, what, and where you drive. Choose from the full line of Toyo tires. Ship fast and free to a recommended installer near you, or choose the convenience of mobile tire installation. They'll bring your new tires to your home or office, install them on site. Doesn't get much easier than that. Go to TireRack.com/Colin to see their Toyo test results, tire ratings, and consumer reviews, and be sure to check out all their current special offers. Great tires, great deal. What more could you ask for? That's TireRack.com/Colin. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be.
Let me run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print, or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
The voice of reason, the voice of sanity, and often the voice of the Dallas Cowboys, Matt Mosley, part of the volume. Nice screen there. You look very official. So listen, you go on the road, you have a backup, you're undisciplined as heck. CeeDee Lamb drops a near touchdown early. And you win, and it kind of feels like you're the superior team. That's not a bad night, right?
Yeah, I think it's an okay night. And I think anytime Cooper Rush gets you a win, everybody from the Cowboys is very excited. They did not expect this at all. They were ready to go on a losing streak and lose every game that Dak was out. And so everything that's happening right now, Jerry sort of tried to predict this, and he said some very, very strange things at the beginning of this week. But in some weird way, Cooper Rush has settled everything down, and the Cowboys winning with this quarterback has a galvanizing effect on the franchise, as crazy as that seems. Now, Giants seem kind of horrible. And the Cowboys don't seem that much better. But still, to be able to overcome everything that happened to them, including CeeDee Lamb just, you know, flatlining in the first half and all of that, I think the Cowboys feel really good about this win.
Yeah, listen, I always felt, I was talking to Sean Payton today, if a backup, if he misses, your starter misses four games, if you can win two, and then they find film on him, it's like Kyle Allen. Can fool you for a few games, then you get film, you know his limitations. But Cooper Rush, I think, has won three straight Cowboy starts. I mean, he's not Dak, although I would say the gap between the two, it's not as large as the Dak fans want you to believe. Dak's better. He's a better athlete. He's stronger. I will say this, is that you can't. Listen, Brian Daboll has limitations, and those are called Daniel Jones. I mean, this is the last year, clearly. But I don't know. As I watched, I thought it was a really hostile crowd. I don't think the New York Giants are without talent. I think they have the right coach. I think you get on that flight, you go home, and you feel like we're not as dynamic offensively as Philadelphia. But geez, Matt, you look around the NFC right now. Who's great? Green Bay can only win one way. Tampa's fallen apart. I mean, the Rams, trust me on the Rams. It's Bondo and Band-Aids. It is not a good team. San Francisco's got limitations. I mean, I would think the flight home tonight's a pretty positive one.
I think so. And you're a man, the master of the schedule And you know, the Rams are coming up with the Cowboys here pretty quickly, and Cowboys have a chance to get on a little bit of a roll here. And then the Eagles right after that. And so everything's right out there in front of them. And I'm telling you, they didn't expect Cooper Rush to do this at all. I was with Jerry last week, and I was right up, you know, next to him. In fact, you saw me right behind him in one of those photos. Yep. And it was just, you could tell he was shocked how Cooper Rush played. I've seen Jerry, the angriest he ever was at Jason Garrett was when Jason Garrett sold him a bill of goods on a backup quarterback. And they had Brad Johnson one of those years, and Brad Johnson was a check down Charlie by that point. And, yeah, and Jason had become friends with Brad, and Brad, and he said, Brad can do this. And when Romo was out, Brad Johnson filled in, and he went 1-2, and they were horrific. And so the fact that they are functional, and also the fact that they let him down so many times, that CD dropped that big one, you know, and there were other plays and holding penalties and everything they had to overcome.
Yeah.
And he still kind of kept chipping away. And when they fall down 13-6 and they answer and they come right back down the field, and then CD, to his credit, I mean, he is not, by the way, I had Drew on my radio show, Drew Pearson. And he was like, this is not, he's not honoring the number 88. The 88s were upset with him early on in this season. And tonight, after a really bad drop, kind of an embarrassing drop. Yeah. And then, oh, by the way, the rookie had a bad drop. Then he make on that one, that all you need against the Giants is like one great drive. And in a sense, he took over on that drive and he ends it. And it was just like they needed somebody to step up. And so they have him and they have Tony Pollard. And then they ran behind an aging left guard tonight. I mean, think about that. On the third drive of the game, they put in a 41-year-old guy who doesn't play guard. And they said, go play left guard for us. Just see how you do. We'll just see how you do. And he blows open a hole, and Pollard goes for 46 yards. So this thing is, you were talking about Band-Aids and everything what the Rams are doing. That's what the Cowboys are doing. But it's a win.
Yeah.
It's a win. And then that's in the NFC right now, that's good enough.
Well, yeah, in the NFC, everything's kind of Band-Aids. I mean, Garoppolo, for the first time in 9 months, got every throw at practice this week. He admitted after the game, like, I'm not in shape. Tampa's just basically going to the local hospital. I mean, nobody is healthy. And by the way, the Rams, that's a very winnable game for the Cowboys. So Van Jefferson's in the IR. Allen Robinson looks washed. OBJ's gone. Cam Akers is in the doghouse because he fumbles near the goal line. They're missing their center and their right guard's a backup. And Andrew Whitworth left, so they don't get great protection. And Matt Stafford throws a lot of picks. So when you look at the schedule coming up, it's a lot of winnable stuff. I mean, I don't love the Cowboys. The way I look at Dallas is, I know the undoing is obvious. It'll be penalties. It'll be situational football and penalties that will end the season. It's not necessarily talent. Like, they're not as talented as the Niners. That is indisputable. After that, if everybody's healthy, they got 5 or 6 elite players. They're not the Niners. Other than that, maybe Philadelphia, I'm underserving here, but I just look at this team and I think every time I watch them, they're painfully undisciplined.
I think that's fair. I think you also have to remember Michael Gallup is returning next week. I mean, I think that really helps the offense. The discipline stuff's not going to go away. I mean, that's sort of sadly what Mike McCarthy brings to the table. Yeah. But now, and again, some of that we can't just blame on him. On the defensive side of the ball, we go crazy about Dan Quinn, and there were calls on the defensive side of the ball, whether it be holding, whether it was after the whistle stuff that was going on, even though some of that stuff was ridiculous. But the best news for the Cowboys is Micah Parsons was not himself. He showed up at the game with a bunch of Pedialyte, which we've all, you know, had to use at some point. He, in his case, he needed it for some illness. And DeMarcus Lawrence, who were kind of like,
he played great.
What's DeMarcus done recently? 3 sacks, constant Dorrance Armstrong, everybody else lifted this player up, this great NFL player who was not himself tonight. And how many Daniel Jones, how many pressures they end up with? 24 pressures. I mean, it was embarrassing.
In the 20s, yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, again, Micah was sick. Backup, lots of penalties, a CeeDee Lamb drop, and I really felt in the last 10 minutes of the game, Dallas was the better team. If you're the New York Giants, because I really like Brian Daboll, they got to draft a quarterback, clearly. Outside of left tackle, their offensive line is still a massive problem. Kenny Golladay is stealing a paycheck. Not to have any sympathy for the Giants. I thought the crowd was also really loud tonight. I thought it was a really hostile environment. But when you look at the Giants, and I do think sometimes, I think, you know, in college, if you get the right coach in the transfer portal, you can get good really fast. In the NFL, there are limitations because it's such a quarterback lead. Here's the good news for the Cowboys. There's two quarterbacks in this division, Jalen Hurts and Dak, that are franchise quarterbacks. Wentz, I think, is washed, and Daniel Jones is done. So, I mean, like, the horizon, I think Dallas is too insular, but I really think with Gallup coming back, I think people in Dallas Cowboy fans, there's a little playoff vibe to them. They may be falling apart, so is everybody else in the NFC.
Well, always the good news for any NFL team is when the Commanders are coming to town. And that's happening next week, and you go to 3-1, and everything we know about the NFL, we're having to kind of rethink. I mean, when you see the Dolphins jump out to a 3-0, you know, start, you got to have to kind of think, okay, these are different times. We've been trained to think of teams like the Patriots over the years. They're not the same, and they're not going to be anywhere close to the playoffs for another season. The Cowboys in the NFC East can always be hanging around. I'm not, you know, Jason Garrett came on the other night and said he thinks the Eagles are the best team in football. I like Jalen Hurts, watched him play for a long time, both at Oklahoma and Alabama. And I think he is a fun player because he can do so many things on the move. Do I think over the course of a season, he can keep this up? I do not. I really don't. They have really good weapons. And they have really good defenders. I'm just saying, I base it more on his whole body of work. I mean, there's a reason he transferred. There's a reason, you know, everybody was winning the Heisman there. He was okay. He was pretty good at Oklahoma. He wasn't great. And I have a really hard time thinking he's just going to do this the rest of the season. So the Cowboys right now are just kind of holding the fort with Cooper Rush. And I think when you do something like that, it can have an impact on the whole team. And the thing of Cooper Rush won't do is like make these backbreaking mistakes. You know, like Daniel Jones, even how many years is this? Six or 7 years? You know, at some point he's gonna, like, with a minute 50, if Aaron Rodgers has the ball or Brady or really any, you know, all these young quarterbacks, you're like, they got a chance. I mean, in did you think they had a chance?
Time for another edition of Sharp or Square with the CCO of the Action Network, Chad Millman. Host the favorites. You see him on the Cowherd podcast feed. All of our odds provided by FanDuel. Okay, I went 2-3. Damn Julio Jones late scratch. Jesus. All right, here we go. Cowboys win on Monday night. Standalone game, overvalued. Dallas is only averaging 15.5 points of offense a game. Washington humiliated. Philadelphia is just really good. I'm taking the points, Commanders +3, sharp or square.
Dude, that is the Commanders as a side, 100% sharp. You're nailing it. And you're nailing it for all the reasons that the wise guys would say, bet the Commanders, right? Dallas wins a dramatic game in prime time. Dallas is always inflated as it is, right? So there's going to be a little bit more value on betting whoever they play in the next week, especially if the Commanders in that next week, in the week before, got blown out by a team. And a lot of people thought the Commanders maybe could cover in that game. So you're 100% on the right team. The challenge here, and this is a nuanced thing, and as a better and all the time, because you're a very popular guy, there's new people listening to this podcast who may not be regular bettors. There's something called getting the best of the number. And you have to decide as a better, as you are deciding now, where is the value? And so, yes, the Commanders are still the right side, but this game was at 5.5. So you're not getting the best of the number anymore. So you kind of got to make your personal choice. Do you still believe that it's the right side, even though you're getting it at three?
All right. Patriots plus 9.5. Again, odds provided by FanDuel. Mac Jones will play. High ankle sprain doesn't hurt him much because he doesn't move anyway. The reality of this is the Packers have scored one touchdown in the second half all year. Why? Because Aaron Rodgers, once he's off scripted plays to his young receivers, doesn't trust them. Once again, last week, touchdown drive, they fumble, he loses trust, he packs it in. 9.5 points, it'll be low scoring, way too much, Patriots sharper square.
Oh my God, Colin, you just hit all the key phrases that every professional bettor is thinking about in this game. The number's too high. Aaron Rodgers' offense is not what it seems just because they beat on the Bucs. It's not that pretty. They're not playing that well. It's going to be a low-scoring game in which the Patriots will try to control the ball, keep it out of Aaron Rodgers' hands. A low-scoring game and a high spread are two things that if you're going to correlate them, you tie it to the underdog that is getting a lot of the points. This is a big pros-Joes game, meaning the pros are putting their money on the Patriots, and the Joes, the bettors, the average bettors, the square bettors, they're putting their money on the Packers. 100% sharp, Colin Cowherd.
All right, Cardinals getting plus 1.5 against Carolina. It's a much better roster. Arizona's fairly desperate. To quiet the critics, they need a W, or like badly. I don't like Carolina. I feel like it's a pick 'em. They don't have much of a home field advantage. I'm going to roll here. Desperate in a good division for a win. Carolina's still rebuilding. Limitations, McCaffrey's health. I'm going to take Arizona plus the point, sharper square.
Well, look, it's sharp only in so much as if you're going to have to make a play on this game, you're going to play Arizona. You know, in a battle of two coaches that have probably the least respect of any coaches in the NFL from a wise guy point of view, Matt Rhule probably has a little bit less respect than Cliff Kingsbury. If you're going to bet the Cardinals, you want to bet them before it gets into October or November when every coach has out-strategized and out-schemed Cliff Kingsbury and he hasn't figured out how to make any changes. They do have the better athletes. I was big on Baker going into the year. I thought this Carolina team could outperform expectations. He's been worse than he ever was in Cleveland. And I will say this. I completely agree with you about the fan base in Charlotte. I've got this theory. People hate me for it. Fan bases in Charlotte, fan bases in Jacksonville, fan bases in the AFC and NFC South teams, for the most part, there's no passion there. Like, I watched a lot of that Carolina game this past weekend, and I might as well have been watching a Royals-Tigers midday game because it was so quiet, right? So I agree with you. There is no home field advantage there. It's sharp, but I don't know why you'd want to bet it.
All right. Well, you know.
There's so many better options on the board.
Okay. So I don't want to take all underdogs because that looks like I'm just playing to just underdogs. I've got one more underdog I like. Rams plus the points, 1.5 at San Francisco. Trent Williams is out. Jimmy Garoppolo is a timing thrower. This means they're going to have to keep George Kittle in to block a lot. Takes away a weapon. They've already got Jalen Ramsey. He'll take away Brandon Ayuk or Debo, match him up singularly. Troy Hill, by the way, statistically, PFF is having a monster year. So they have two really good corners that match up. It's one of the few games McVay doesn't have a coaching advantage. But I'm sorry. I don't think home field matters here. It's in division. They play a lot. I'm taking the points. I think the Trent Williams injury is a huge issue for them. It forces them to keep Kittle in, makes them much less dynamic. I'm going to take the Rams plus the point, sharper square.
So the Rams opened at 2.5 point underdogs. The wise guys liked it at 2.5. The number has come down to 1.5. This to me, and this from a wise guy point of view, you have a lot of challenges because you've lost the best of the number. And Kyle Shanahan, for all of his faults, of which he is proving to have many in certain situations, he dominates the Rams, right? Other than that title game, that NFC title game last year, he's generally dominated the Rams. So I think it's an interesting coaching matchup, because I do think Shanahan has proven that he can do the right things against McVay's schemes. I'm waffling here because there is no consensus. I get this number right now. The wise guys don't have a strong opinion.
Here's my favorite pick. Anybody seen Jared Goff's numbers at home? They're like fantastic. And Seattle is bad on third down, bad throwing, two rookie tackles that are having, you know, classic rookie tackle issues. Detroit scores a lot of points, a lot more at home. Goff's getting unbelievable protection. Amon-Ra St. Brown's banged up, didn't practice. But at 4.5, I'd swallow it. I think they win by a touchdown or more. I think Seattle played a great half of football against Denver. They haven't done anything since. I like Detroit to win and cover.
So interesting you're talking about this game. So, as you mentioned, I host the Favorites on the Volume Podcast Network. On Thursdays, we do a segment called Sharp Calls, in which professional bettors react to the conversations my co-host and I had on Tuesday.
Why don't you ever mention his name? He's very talented.
I mention him all the time, Simon Hunter. He's amazing.
It seems like you always gloss over his name. I'm not trying to start anything. You just gloss over it.
Really?
Well, yeah. I mean, if I said constantly my wife and never mentioned Anne, I'd be like, that's suspicious. They're having problems.
No, I love Simon. I mentioned okay. it. Dude, I made Simon a co-host of the podcast. We added his picture.
Now you're getting very defensive. There's something going on. Are you guys struggling? I'm such a dick.
Sorry. Oh, my God. You're so annoying. Me and some other guy I do the podcast with, we get these calls from professional bettors. And the one game that they kept telling us we weren't talking enough about was the Seahawks and the Lions.
Who do they like?
They love the Seahawks. And I was like, really? They love the Seahawks. They love the Seahawks down to 3.5. The game was at 4.5. I'm as shocked as you are. So I think there's some analysis about Geno Smith that is being overlooked, that he's playing just much better than people expected. I think that, you know, you're not going to often get running backs who have an impact on a team's power rating and on a point spread. But I do think with DeAndre Swift being out, he's the playmaker on that team. Amon-Ra St. Brown is great, and he's the guy that they can go to keep drives going. But DeAndre Swift breaks open huge plays and sort of tilts the game for them in a different way. So I think they're counting on that. And this defense is terrible. And so it's going to be hard for them to stop anybody. And I think that with the combination of Geno Smith playing better than they thought, the wise guys are betting the Seahawks right now.
I'm not going to bet this game, I don't think. Talk me into it. Raiders minus 2.5. So the number's telling you bet the Raiders. But here's my problem. And I do think they've lost three close games. Derek Carr's been fine. They've lost very close competitive games. But what worries me about the Broncos is that in that last series against San Francisco, a great defense, Russell's like, okay, I'm just going to take the offense over. I've been deferential to you. My gut says that last drive is Russell saying, listen, I tried to be a good soldier. I've got to win games. And I think that's the offense we're going to see from Denver now going forward. That's my feeling. So I like Denver. Am I wrong? Plus points?
No. Denver plus 2.5 is the spot here. And I agree with you 100%. You know, look, you and I, before the season began, we both loved Russell on the Broncos. We think this defense is amazing. It's proven to be amazing. I don't think we realized how over his head Nathaniel Hackett would be to start the year.
Yeah.
And I am not a guy who says, oh, well, he sucks in the beginning, so he's not going to be able to grow into it. Everybody has their opportunity to do that. But I do think that what you saw at the end of that game was Russell Wilson being Russell Wilson. And against a Raiders team that just feels like it's in disarray right now, you're having team meetings, you know, 3 weeks into it, man. That's a different conversation. So, yeah, I like the Broncos here at plus 2.5.
Volume.
Make sure to check out the Draymond Green Show. I brought Draymond Green into the Volume because one of the more entertaining voices in sports, unique perspective, understands behind the rope, also chops up with guests like Gary Payton, Zach LaVine, Tracy McGrady. Make sure, download the Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts, only on the Volume Podcast Network.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Being a chef means keeping your cool in the kitchen. And with Resi Priority Notify and Global Dining Access through my Amex Platinum card,
right this way.
It's nice to try someone else's food for a change. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Bissell Pluma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.